Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We're about to go to Chocolate City.
Let's get it!
The capital of the United States.
Woo! You know, haters are haters, you know. They control the mouth.
Merry Christmas, little man!
Commitment to fucking playing defense.
I'm not eating cat food either.
What's this all about? We're on the kiss cam. Feel a little reluctant to take that.
How sweet.
That pick was really strong.
Look out, Nene and Butler. Butting heads, looking at each other.
Broadcasting from the capital of the free world, this is Zardcast.
Welcome to Zardcast. I'm your host, C.T. Schwenk. Thank you for joining us this Thursday, January 12th, 2017. Follow us on Twitter, at Zardcast. We are your A-Team Wizards podcast on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. You can find all of our shows at almightyballer.com and zardcast.com, although that's not entirely true because I haven't updated the website in about a week. So when you're listening to this, it'll be true, but when we're recording, it's not so much. So, Zardcast.com. And then, of course, the best way to get the show, iTunes, Google Play. Those are the two big ones. But, of course, you can also go to Blog Talk Radio, Overcast, Player FM, Stitcher, Acast, and TuneIn. And finally, as far as housekeeping goes, we're going to record next Tuesday. We've already laid it out. This is big time for us. We've set a schedule rather than just kind of deciding the week of, which is, you know, fine. But the reason for that is we have Andrew Sharp from Sports Illustrated joining us. So he is going to drop by. He's going to talk some whiz with us, and the episode will be out on Wednesday morning. So keep an eye out for that. Joining me, as always, David Keffer. How are you, sir?
Pretty good.
Oh, no. Gary Jones, how are you? That's a moo.
I'm doing pretty darn well. Thanks.
Of course, of course. So as you'll hear this now, but yeah, we're still free to say what we want, but in those moments that we can't fully divulge what's going on, it's when the cow comes in. So I guess I'll save this for a pop culture detour, but cow reference on the latest New Girl. Did you see it, Dave?
Oh yes, I did.
All right, we'll say it. That's a tease. So for this evening,
what is the tease that we're going to talk about what happened in this week's New Girl?
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
So this episode, this is what's going to happen. We got four games to discuss. We got a little bit of a scrap. We got a lot going on in the Eastern Conference. Little pop culture detour. Little this week in John Wall, and we're actually gonna flip it here. We're gonna go through the most recent games first and go all the way back to last Friday against the Timberwolves. So that's the roadmap for this evening. Thanks again for joining us. Let's get to it here. So we normally go oldest to newest, but because last night's game against the Celtics was a big one in many ways. Culminating in a bit of a scrap, a little tussle on the court between Jay Crowder and John Wall. I think this is the appropriate place to start. So the Wizards, they lose this one. Another loss in the end of a back-to-back, 117-108. Celtics, they play dirty. We were texting last night throughout this entire game, and we've decided Celtics' new most hated team in the NBA.
And I think we were talking about that before any of the real chippiness even started.
Right? Yeah, that was just based on how annoying some of their players are to us, and then all that stuff started, just kind of confirmed our new leaning.
And we've always known. I mean, Marcus Smart is awful. I mean, he's like might be the dirtiest player in the NBA. He's definitely up there. And then afterwards, I mean, of course, all the guys are confirming it. But when Otto was being like, "Yeah, they're just dirty." Like, they're just trying to hurt us out there, that's all. When Meek Mild Otto Porter is saying it, that's when you know it's confirmed.
Otto has never told a lie in his life. I'm sure of it. So if he says it, it's definitely true.
He probably exists in a world like that one movie with Ricky Gervais where he literally can't tell a lie. I don't think he's capable.
There's no artifice to Otto.
Well, he threw it out there. Before getting into the game here, as far as the tussle goes, Jay Crowder, John Wall exchanging some words, and then Jay Crowder sticks his finger in John Wall's nose. John Wall responds with a couple swipes, not really punches, just kind of like, did he make contact?
The first one, yeah. Okay. He was like a cat, like batting at his face, kind of.
Yeah, I think it was meant to be more disrespectful than painful.
Right.
It was like you're a punk, and smacked him.
Because poking somebody in the nose is about the most disrespectful. Like,
right.
That was so far out of bounds by Crowder.
Totally. I mean, if they want to, I mean, they've been going at it all game. Nothing wrong with it all, you know, continuing on afterwards, but to poke someone in the nose like that? I mean, I would be pissed if someone poked me in the nose like that.
Yeah, I doubt he meant to. He probably meant to point right in his face. I don't think he meant to, like, boop him on the nose like that. maybe he did, but that seems odd.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he's a professional athlete. Like, what's your depth perception like there? Because he didn't just, like, graze his nose. Like, if you look at the still, he's got his nose fully, like, pigged up. You know what I mean? Like, he got in there.
Yeah. I mean, even if he didn't mean to do it, he meant to get like as close as humanly possible without touching.
Right. It's not cool to point like right in somebody's face whether you touch him or not. I don't think he meant to touch his nose. I don't know.
I'm still mad at Jay Crowder from taking the Big East Player of the Year away from Kevin Jones several years ago. So, yeah.
I didn't even know about that, but now I'm pretty mad about it too.
So pissed. I tweeted about it, so it made me feel better.
And then, so that happens. Then Beal and Smart kind of, while everyone's being held away from each other, then Beal and Smart are yelling at each other again. And then apparently the locker rooms in the TD Garden are only like 10 yards apart. And so they had to have like security between the two locker rooms the whole time after the game.
Interesting. I love Brad's faces through all this. Some really great screen grabs.
Brad is from when he went, don't f*** with me, Kyle. Oh, dang it.
It's okay.
To Kyle Lowry when they beat him in the playoffs. And he is, like, low-key the sassiest guy on the team. The faces that he makes. Like, when him and Smart got into it and Smart was, like, in his face, he was just sitting on the ground, like, smiling up at him.
Yeah.
Like, I've already scored like 30 points on you. Like, what are you really trying to say to me right now?
I just hate Marcus Smart. I mean, this has been going on, I mean, back to last year. John's complained a couple times. He's like, oh, yeah, he like stepped on Brad's ankle and like kicked him in. Someone got kicked in the face last time. Like,
yeah. And actually, when Smart came into the league, I was a really big fan because I love that he pushed that booster. That's like one of the best things I think a college athlete could do in my eyes is like hit one of those loud, angry idiots that sits courtside. But he's just such a dirty player. He's maybe the biggest, like most blatant flopper in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike you two, I've been a big hater of Marcus Smart since his college days because he was on the cover of a Sports Illustrated. It was like a season preview issue. It was a regional one. I think there were various ones, but his was him on one side, Wayne Selden on the other, and I got Marcus Smart's autograph on it. And I was intending to try to get Selden, but Smart signed in a giant signature on the wrong side of the magazine, all over Wayne Selden, ruining the whole thing.
Oh,
so
God.
He was dead to me before he even got in the league.
Bummer.
The list of infractions from this guy just goes on and on.
Yeah.
His hair looks like an expired bag of Cheetos. Like, what a nightmare.
I think we can all agree, more like Marcus Dumb.
Oh, got him.
So, what this game has me thinking. We three have not been to a game yet together this season. And we were trying to figure out some dates. And before this game even happened, we were kind of saying the one that might work is Celtics on the 24th. Mm-hmm. You guys want to do it?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
All right. And then I don't think this will have any effect, but if it does, I think we should get as many of the Wizards Twitter, Zardcast supporter people buy cheap tickets, go to this game, because Celtics fans tend to fill up the Verizon Center pretty well.
For sure.
We should try to combat that as much as we can with like the rowdy, vocal Internet Wizards crew.
There's nothing more that I love. I've only done it like sparingly recently, but get a little drunk and then just like start yelling at people at sporting events and heckling other fans. Like, it is a true deep passion of mine, but at my age at this point, it's a little more embarrassing and will only continue to be. So I'm sure it'll be limited, but this is a great opportunity for it.
Yeah.
You know how you really get under a Boston, especially a Celtics fan, skin? Just tell them they're racist. Just be like, that's why you guys are cheering for Gordon Hayward, is that you love white people. The town sucks. Google hunting's overrated.
Vastly overrated. Tom Brady cheated. That's the way to do it, man. Everyone will just lose their mind. What do you mean? Oh, I'm so sorry that you won all those Super Bowls and have a clear path to another one. Worst. Oh, man. There we go. Okay. What time we got? Perfect. So, before all this happened, the Wizards lost the basketball game. And, you know, that ends their little run there. Again, like I said, they lose another game on the back end of a back-to-back. They were battling until about 5 or 6 minutes left, and they basically just ran out of gas. And that was kind of it.
I really wanted them to win because, you know, any game you want them to win. But then I had just decided the other day to look up when the last time there were two games over 500 was. Mm-hmm. Do either of you want to venture a guess?
Definitely the 2015-14 season.
Yeah, because they were like 25-12 at the start of that season, right? Like, yeah, they were really good at.
Yeah, it was more recent than that. They last year at one point they were 6-4. Mm. So November 25th of 2015 was the last time they were two games over 500, which, you know, could happen last night. And then today, earlier, the Pacers won by, or they lost. They gave up like 140 to the Nuggets.
That happened earlier today?
It was it was in London. It was a 3 p.m. start or something. I forgot about that.
Why do they send those teams over there? Like, why wouldn't you want, like, the Thunder and the Warriors over there? Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
They do the same
sense.
Thing in the NFL. The Jaguars go to London, like, every year.
Yeah.
Well, that's because the Jags are owned by a guy who owns Fulham over there. So he's got the Euro tie. But again, I mean, they don't ever send the Patriots over there. The Patriots never have to go play in London.
Like, well, they might start a war.
Valid concern.
The Patriots would probably just be like, we're not doing that. And
right.
We're going to sit. We're not going to send anybody.
We're just going to
send.
They don't send the Steelers. Like, they don't send the Cowboys. They send the Dolphins and the Jaguars.
Well, had the Wizards won that game last night with the Pacers loss, they'd be sitting in fifth.
That hurts.
Instead, they're in eighth.
Well, at least they're one game above 500 at the moment, which is, I think, also a thing that they haven't done since 2015.
We're back at 500 now, aren't we?
Back at 500?
Yeah, back at. They were one over. Would have been two. Now they're at.
Well, at before yesterday, a thing they hadn't done since 2015. As I said, they ran out of gas in that game, and Isaiah Thomas scored 20 of his 38 in the fourth quarter, and that's not going to help. And actually, a reoccurring theme we're going to see here with the other three games, I mean, they didn't have to dig out of a giant hole, but they did leave everyone and anyone open behind the three-point line, and that's what they've just been doing. They close it down when they want to. It's pretty perplexing, and last night was, I mean, when you don't have the energy to close out shooters like that, like, they're just going to get killed, and that's what Isaiah Thomas did.
The most egregious thing to me, I mean, Isaiah Thomas is going to kill you. He's, like, the best scorer in the league, maybe, in the fourth quarter this year, I think. He had two different plays where he shot like a long jumper. Maybe both of them were threes, and then went and got his own rebound
yeah.
and put them back in. He's 5'9". How are you letting that happen no matter who is out there? There's no one under 6 feet on the team, right?
That's on whoever's guarding him when he takes that shot, probably Wall or Beal.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. And I'm kind of surprised. I mean, it felt fairly evident to me that they were tired, especially John. I mean, his jump shots, like, looked awful. He, like, couldn't get off the ground. And I'm on Twitter, and everyone's screaming, like, John, you got to get to the lane. Like, yeah, you're right, but he, like, physically couldn't.
Right. Well, and compounding that is apparently both his right pinky and his left wrist were hurting him. So I think it was maybe Candace Buckner or Ben Standing maybe that he was saying his pinky was like sticking to the ball when he was shooting jumpers.
Ugh.
And then if his wrist is hurting him, he finishes with his left. Mm-hmm. So he's going to have a tough time, you know, finishing at the rim. So that combined with he played, I think, 42 minutes the night before. He just didn't have it. He didn't have anything really.
Yeah. It's probably, I mean, he hadn't thrown up a dud in a while. I don't have all his game logs in front of me, but it's been a long, I mean, probably 2 or 3 weeks since he turned into performance like that.
Yeah, and it almost was okay because Beal was playing unreal for quite a while, and then he also seemed to get tired. His shot started being short towards the end of the game.
He also got in foul trouble.
And he had a technical, too, so he had to...
Bad times.
And then Morris was horrendous in the first half, red hot in the third, and then immediately ice cold again in the fourth.
He is so close to being such a valuable stretch four, but he just can't. I think he's shooting like 32% from three, and that's just not good enough. They just leave him open. And
he airballed two of them last night.
Yeah. He'd been shooting better lately.
Mm-hmm. At least, you know, I guess if he's not shooting well, as at least the effort's there, you know?
No, I mean, he's definitely, you know, he's the strongest. He gets the toughest rebounds on the team, I think.
Or McClellan. That guy gets incredible rebounds.
Or Otto. Otto was really strong on the boards.
I love how unnecessarily high McClellan jumps for rebounds. He'll grab them at the top of the backboard when there's no one else around.
And he is often, I mean, you can throw him the ball in the post, and if there's someone any bit smaller than him, he's just going to abuse him. But if he can't hit that three, I don't know if, I mean, he's got 2 years left on his contract. I don't know if he can be like a starting power forward if he can't hit that shot.
Well, it'd be nice if the plan was to get someone in front of him. Kevin Durant or Al Horford. That's another thing about playing the Celtics that hurts. And, you know, Al Horford's drilling threes. Like, imagine if he was the starting four and Markieff Morris was coming off the bench. Like,
you know who has been hitting some threes and blocking some shots? Is Jason Smith.
He how needs good a sound
has,
drop.
How good has Jason Smith been recently?
He's been really good. I get hyped up for him like as if it's a joke, but then he's actually been playing really well.
He provides like a ton of energy. He makes big hustle plays. He fights for rebounds even if he doesn't have any chance of getting them. He had that play where he tried to close out and just fell down and like skidded 30 feet across the floor.
He also had a huge putback dunk last night.
He did, yeah.
And the one that came off the pass on the baseline, just jammed on Gerald Green.
And was it last night or the game before that he had, like, he drove past whoever was guarding him and had, like, a finger roll?
I think that was last night. That was last night. And then in the Bulls game, he had three blocks, and they were all, like, well above the rim.
Yeah.
Oh, man, if only he was, like, the third big off the bench, it would be really great. If only there was another guy. I don't remember. Don't remember who that is. Sorry. Oh, that was a bust, you guys. We'll do that. Let's do it again.
Ian Mahinmai.
Yeah, don't know who that guy is.
Ian Mahinmai.
No wonder we can't pronounce his name.
But I'm really enjoying the Jason Smith renaissance. He gave a post-game interview after the Bulls game and was just like really, really goofy and awkward, and he seems to be way more confident than he was before. So, do you think he's the sixth best player on the team now?
I feel like it fluctuates between him and Oubre.
But right now is the last week, 2 weeks? I'd say he's been the sixth best player.
Yeah. He's had Oubre played well against the Bucks, but otherwise he'd been behind Jason in the bench power rankings, I'd say.
What a turn of events.
We're getting to mid-January here. Do you think we'll get a Jan Mahimny update anytime soon?
I think that end of January is when they were saying they were going to reevaluate him.
Okay. All right. Well, let's keep traveling back in time here. The Wiz, brighter note. So we got three wins to cover still. They won their 10th straight at home, beating an undermanned Bull squad. No Wade, no Butler, no Mirotic. They win this one 101-99. They needed some John Wall heroics to bail them out. This was their 9th game that they had to dig out of a double-digit hole that they came out with a win. So not really a formula that you want to continue to replicate. They were down 18 at one point. The Bulls were shooting lights out in the first half. Wiz get back in it. John and Brad, they played the whole third quarter, which is probably why they were so gassed against Boston, I'd imagine. And they pull it back together. John Wall, how is this his only first, like, dagger shot? Like,
I don't think that's true.
I don't think so either.
What do you mean?
Someone, I think it was Candace Buckner, wrote an article in the Post about how this was his first game winner. And I don't think that's true.
That doesn't seem right, but I doubt she'd get it wrong. Is there like a what's the time qualification for that? Do we know?
Well, that's the thing is he hit this one with like 6 seconds left, so it's not like it was a buzzer beater. I would get that if it was like he's never hit a buzzer beater, you know. But I don't know.
Let me look it up. I don't mean
to cast aspersions on Candace Buckner's work. I'm not.
No, you're right, but I also agree. I just feel like he's been around forever. We must have seen at least one. Like,
yeah. Here's a tweet.
There it is.
Saw from Bullets Forever after that game. Wiz were +24 in Wall's 40 minutes, -22 in 750 without him.
Crazy, man.
That's insane. -22, not even 8 full minutes with him off the court, and they managed to be -22. That is remarkable.
Doesn't just says game winning. He botched 2 attempts earlier in the season. Yeah, I don't know. I'm convinced that couldn't have been the first time.
You know what we got to do? You have to go through and watch every single game John Wall's ever played with the Wizards.
You know, you're right.
You guys, I mean, it's a 3-day weekend. I could be here by like 5:30 tomorrow.
Okay. You think we can get through them all by Monday?
No, certainly not.
Okay, so last year, he hit a shot with 12 and a half seconds left to beat the Magic. Does that one not count if this one does?
I don't know. Maybe it's a sub-10-second ruling or something.
Yeah.
And amendment. We definitely could because we'd only have to watch the last minute of every game.
Right. And the close ones, too.
Right. Yeah, we could rule out any blowouts.
Close wins, even. So
now the trick is where do you get all those games?
Mm. Mm. We'll work on it. If you have any suggestions, add Zardcast. So they dug it out against the Bulls. It's kind of unfortunate because even the Celtics last night were undermanned. The Bulls were undermanned. They had to dig out against them. The Bucks undermanned as well on Sunday. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, they're not guarding guys behind the 3-point line. That's like the huge thing. I don't know. Like, they just kind of select. I mean, I guess this is just the NBA. They just kind of decide when they're going to turn it on, and it ends up biting them, I guess. I had no answers.
I don't know. I mean, at the same time, the Wizards are undermanned every single night.
That's true.
They have 5.5 like real NBA players. And as good as Wall, Beal, and Otto can be, sometimes your shots aren't going to fall. Sometimes, you know, you're going to be a little sluggish. And
that was the case in the Bulls game. The shots were not falling for Beal and Porter for bulk of that game.
Well, they managed and got him above 500 for the first time. That was the first time since 2015. I said that a minute ago, but I'm confirming to myself.
I'm the Wiz and nobody beats me.
There we go.
I'm the Wiz and less than half of people beat me.
At home. 10 in a row at home.
Yeah. Huge, huge. They got two home games this weekend. We'll get to that in a little bit. Sixers and the Blazers. John also went, I mean, aside from his late game heroics, he also had 26 and 14. So he's playing out of his mind.
And he was so clutch in, I think, all three of those games. He wasn't necessarily scoring really well early on, but just got his way to the basket, and that was the thing missing from that Celtics game, is that he couldn't get there.
Right. Yeah, the Bulls game, he had not just the game winner. He had the evener-upper with, like, 40 seconds to go. Oh, is that not what it's called?
That was his first career evener-upper, too.
Bucks game, man, I was texting you guys about it when it was going on. I was working that day, and I was at my desk, but Sundays, typically slow day at the gym. So I just like plopped down to watch the game, and then out of nowhere, you know, must be January thing going on. Everybody's got their resolutions popping in.
I'm sure.
All of a sudden the Wi-Fi was just decimated, and it was like watching claymation for the last quarter and a half of that game. It was brutal.
That'd be fun to watch, like a claymation version of a basketball game.
If it were actually clay, yes. If it's just a stream on your computer that's really struggling, not so much.
Sorry to hear that, Gary.
It's all right.
I almost called you the other word. Would have been bad.
Dummy.
Well, they went at 107-101. Again, digging themselves out of a double-digit hole, down 12 at half. Letting guys shoot open threes. No Giannis, and they really had a hard time taking advantage. This time, Kelly Oubre was the glue guy. He kind of looked like he, you know, it was his first game since he had his concussion that he was really broken out of his funk. He scored 18, played really well in defense. So he was important on Sunday. Brad had 26, Keith had a nice day, 20 and 10, and with that, they clinch the season series over the Bucks. So should there be any tiebreaker scenario, the Wizards would own that one.
Knock if you buck.
Hey, girl!
Make that into a drop, that back and forth.
All right. One more here. God, I don't even remember this game. Last Friday, win over the Timberwolves. That was win number 8 in a row at home, 112-105. They were up by 14 at half. The Wolves kind of came back on them. They did need some. They needed a lot of John Wall. And another virtuoso performance, 18 points and 18 assists. And they were able to kind of strap down on defense the last couple possessions and put it away. Wiggins had 41, but they were able to contain LaVine and Towns, so. You know, it was not ideal, but they got it done.
Wiggins was nuts in that game.
Yeah.
He was hitting insane shots. I think he put up like 30 shots. I think he was like 16 for 30 or something like that. But a lot of them were like turnaround 18-footers fading away. But just everything going in. It was nuts.
I don't know about you guys. I've probably seen Karl Anthony Towns play like 10 full games in my life. And I know that every once in a while he puts up like 36 and 15 or something. Not impressed with him. I don't see the people say he's like on par or going to be as good as Anthony Davis. I don't see anything like that.
Yeah, I've seen him play some really good games, but I've definitely been underwhelmed other times. I have a similar feeling about Porzingis, and I think it just is like when the players are that young it really isn't happening that frequently.
Right.
So you kind of have to be watching like a lot of their games to see how good they look like they're going to be. I don't know. Like even like last week was that last week when Axman was on?
Mm-hmm.
And he was kind of saying the same thing. He knows Wall's good, but he doesn't like see how he probably, you know, similar thing. He probably doesn't watch Wall as frequently as we do and realize just how like great a player he is. I've watched same thing like Porzingis. I've watched him like probably around 10 times. I watched him play the Sixers for some of like the first half of last night. I've never seen him do anything, but I know he's got to be good. It's all anyone talks about, and I see some of his stat lines, but I've never witnessed him do anything impressive.
I think with Porzingis, the potential like obviously he averages like I don't know like 18 and 10 or something, which is really good for a 21-year-old guy. But that the fact that he blocks as many shots and like the way that he does and hits a bunch of threes is what people are like salivating over, is that his game can stretch that far in both directions. But Towns, he just seems like he's going to be like a really good player. Like he can do everything. He can handle the ball, shoot really well for a big man. But I just don't see him. I don't know. Anthony Davis was like destructive in his first 2 years in the league in the way that I don't know that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Towns seem like he can be.
I think from the games I've watched, Towns, the like what sets him apart is what you said, his ball handling is really incredible for a 7'1" or whatever height he is. But
right.
Like he makes moves when he faces up that are typically like shooting guard moves.
The other problem with Porzingis, he's playing with three black holes on his team, Derrick Rose, Carmelo, and Brandon Jennings.
Courtney Lee is not a big passer either.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I hear. I actually wanted to have him on tonight. Stewart from Long Island. He's so distressed about the Knicks, and he watches them every night. And he's like, Porzingis will be on fire for most of the game, and he'll get to the fourth quarter, and they just like will never pass to him again. Is outrageous.
I am so tired of hearing about Derrick Rose at this point. He's not good.
He sucks.
He'll put up like 25 shots on, you know, 25 points on like 23 shots. He'll turn the ball over five times, and everyone will be like, is Derrick Rose back? No, he's just shooting a lot. He doesn't do anything else. Man, I really hate the Knicks. I feel bad for Melo that he is surrounded. I mean, he's obviously a big part of the problem.
Don't say that.
But
think about how large his office is and how many things he can look at from that office.
I'm just tired of hearing about them. They haven't been relevant in a long time. They're terribly managed. Phil Jackson's a dickhead. Oh, is that not?
I think we can say
nice. I'm going to use it all the time.
I think dickhead's okay.
Cool. Well, it's like how on TV you can say ass,
but if you say ass,
you bleep the whole part of it.
I was curious earlier because you were quoting Brad Beal and said, and when he called someone an effer, which I guess you still have to.
Did I miss that?
No, you got it.
Oh, okay.
But
did
you know,
I?
Yeah, you did. Or maybe it wasn't. I don't know. You were quoting somebody about after a game, and I was curious what the. I mean, obviously we got to put a moo in there, but then you were like, "Ooh," you said like "whoops" after, but you had no whoops required. You were just quoting a guy.
Sure, I mean that's just good journalism.
Yeah.
New rule. Okay, here we go. If you curse, so you don't have to be like, "Ah!" just go like that.
For the listener, Schwenk raised his right hand in the air as if he were telling the ref that the foul was on him.
And then he took his left index finger and swirled it around in his belly button.
As if the lint were on him.
There's a lot of lint in there, you guys, let me tell you.
In winter, too, because all the clothes push it down.
Well, this is gross. I didn't shower all weekend, so when I took my Monday morning
weekend?
Showering's optional on the weekends, you guys.
Is that Friday night through Sunday night?
Friday morning.
Oh,
through Monday
God.
Morning. It was gross, believe me. But that Monday morning lint swirl, oh, my God, it was like a goddamn pillow in there.
All right, we're going to have to move this whole conversation. This is the like most obscene thing that's ever been on this podcast.
I could check it right now if you want.
Oh, it's doing it.
It's like a black hole. No, you know what? Nothing in there.
Nothing.
It was It wasn't that hot. It was kind of warm out today, so I just wore a polo. Oh, yeah. No,
it's
jacket.
The layers that do it.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, if we really want to get weird here, if it hadn't been so warm today, I would have requested, Gary, that you strip one of your many layers off.
Oh, you know what?
We can still do it because
I got shorts on under the sweat.
It's 70 degrees out.
Yeah, but I came from the gym.
Like a Mr. I work out coming from the gym. That was
sensual right there. So if you guys don't, we've talked about it before, but Gary, especially during the winter months, although you never know during the summer either, prone to wearing two pairs of sweatpants.
Two pairs of everything. I don't like the cold. I got to layer up. But yeah, you need a couple layers.
You know what? I was actually thinking about this the other day. I was talking to Aaron. So you have every part of your body, your head, you got a hat when it's cold, hands, gloves, shoes, you can put boots on, you can wear an extra pair of socks, your torso, obviously you can wear a coat, neck, scarf, ears, earmuffs. Best. The only thing that you don't, that there isn't like an accepted second layer of warmth is your legs. Why isn't there like a pants coat?
Well, there's that's not true. There's long johns. There's underlayers.
I wore,
but not a thing that you can wear outside of them and then take off when you get inside.
Right, unless you're in like snow and then you wear snow pants. But
right,
not but that's just more of like a skiing thing. Like yeah, you can't wear snow pants to work.
Hey, that's what I'm trying to buck the trend. Knock if you buck.
Yeah, girl. I did wear like Under Armour like leggings to work twice this week.
But what I'm saying is, it's not an outerwear thing. Which, I don't know, maybe something as a society we need to look at.
We could, you know what, I actually looked into purchasing, I don't know if it was last winter or the winter before, but and they don't exist, nobody makes anymore, are like button-up warm-up pants, like the way basketball teams used to wear. And maybe some, I think I still see some college teams with them, like the buttons up the sides and they rip them off.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't wear them anymore?
I rarely see them anymore.
What do they wear now?
Just like stretchy sweats that you just pull off.
Hmm.
What if we made like business casual versions of those?
Like khakis
yeah,
that buttoned up?
Yeah.
I think we'd be millionaires.
I mean, they already make like the sweatpant version of dress pants.
Right. I went into Lululemon once and they had pants that were $90-some, so of course I didn't buy them, but I wanted them so bad. They felt like sweatpants and looked exactly like khaki work pants. It would have been a dream to wear them every day.
I've got a coworker who, he swears by them, but I swear that he only wears one pair of them, so we can't be sure. He assures me he has multiple pairs, but I don't really believe
him.
You
mean he wears the same pair every day?
That's what I think.
I've done that. I don't think that's out of bounds.
I mean, I obviously, like, recycle my dress pants, especially I'm not trying to go to the dry cleaner all the time, but a little questionable.
I don't think it's questionable, and I don't even have to take mine to the dry cleaner. I'm just wearing chinos. I could put them in the washer, but I don't want to. I think it's fine to wear. I mean, I only have one pair of jeans. If you've ever seen me wearing jeans, it's this pair right here. So
when was the last time you washed those jeans?
A few days ago.
Okay. You are like a regular laundry guy. You're a minimalist when it comes to clothes.
What, I'm going to have two pairs of jeans and then be like, oh, do I wear the good jeans or the bad jeans today?
I've got a light and a dark.
That's fair. If you're going to a classier occasion, you want to wear the darker ones?
Yeah, or just for a long time I didn't, and then I would never feel comfortable wearing a blue shirt with my jeans, and I have lots of blue shirts. I'd be like, it's too much blue, I can't do it. But if you wear the darker jeans, then you can wear some of your blue up top.
That's a fashion tip for all you listeners out there.
I'd say this is some of the best podcasting we've done in a couple weeks.
I mean, this is important stuff that nobody else is talking about.
Yeah. There's a lot of great podcasts out there, especially NBA ones, but not going to find this stuff anywhere else. Tell a friend, everyone. Okay. So we're going to do a live read here, but to do so, we brought an old friend back into the fold, all the way from the other side of the globe. Sydney Melbourne, ladies and gentlemen.
Whoa, Sydney's back?
Is he outside? Is he in the hallway? Or I didn't know that he was coming back.
Yeah, I know the people have been clamoring for his return.
He emailed me today and was like, hey, can I drop by? can I drop by? That's how I read it in my mind. You know,
that makes sense.
Yeah, so we play his sounder a whole bunch.
I'm named after the places I may have been conceived.
But now we got him in the flesh, so let's welcome him back to the show here. We got him doing live reads.
Hello, bros.
Sydney.
Sid, what's up, man?
Oh, it's so good to be back.
Glad to have you, man.
How long has it been?
Oh, it's been a while. I don't know. What was I in last winter? Probably about a year.
How's it been going?
It's been going good. So I remember last year I came on and I kind of disappointed you bros for how little I knew about basketball. And I went out and I learned all about it.
What did you learn in your time studying up on basketball?
Well, before, I only really knew about Andy Boygett and Andy Delavadingo. And then when they both made the finals, it was very exciting for me. So I really got into basketball. I bought some John Hollinger books. I learned all about PEI. And
you're reading up on analytics.
Oh, yeah. Analytics. I read some coaching books. I read Bill Russell's autobiography.
This is great. This is great. So you have a small library going at this point.
Yes. I got books out the wazoo.
The only thing is we weren't expecting this, and so we were just hoping you could read this ad for us.
I'm sorry?
Ooh, maybe I didn't relay that part of the information here.
I thought I was here to talk about basketball.
Well, last time we talked to you, you didn't really know anything about basketball.
Well, that's why I went and I loaned.
Well, you know, we already have three guys here, and, like, you know, four is a little bit much, so we can use some help for sure, but not, you know.
I could be your baby. Remember that movie, Three Men and a Baby?
Right. You'll be the baby, and you're going to take on a baby-sized role, like reading the live reads.
Oh, live read.
Yeah.
So what is this live read, then?
So we have this app, this company called Handy. If you, I sent you the notes earlier, you can dive into it.
That's what this email was all about.
Yeah, yeah. So,
all right, I'll give it a shot.
You want to tell the people what's good about Handy?
I'll tell you what you wrote about Handy. And if you say it's good, I'll take your word for it.
All right.
All right, Handy. Download the Handy app or go to handy.com and use the code ALMIGHTY15 for 15% off. This is not an app to order hand jobs. Well, I don't know if I want to use it then. Well, all right, I'll continue on. Most successful live reads are straight up, sincere, and...
Oh.
Okay, read the wrong part here. We'll carry on. Professionals using the Handy platform are experienced, friendly, background checked, and insured. Handy is the leading platform for connecting individuals looking for household services with top quality, pre-screened, independent service professionals. From home cleaning to handyman services, Handy instantly matches thousands of customers every week with trusted professionals in cities all around the world. With a seamless 60-second booking process, secure payment, and a 100% money-back guarantee, Handy is the easiest, most convenient way to book home services. Handy is the quickest, most reliable way to book household service providers. Within a couple of minutes, you can book a pre-approved cleaner or handyman for any time you'd like.
Tell the fine people what that code is again.
Let me reiterate. The code is ALMIGHTY15 for 15% off Handy. How'd I do, blokes?
I think you did well. Would you use it? Do you believe that you'd call Handy if, say, you had a kangaroo infestation? Do you think that they I guarantee they have exterminators on there.
Listen, I'm from the outback. I'm pretty rugged. But maybe you Americans might use something like this. I think for you lot, it'd probably be a pretty handy app. No, I didn't even mean to say it again, but that worked out pretty good, huh?
Ah, I like it. Okay.
All right. Ready to talk some basketball?
No, Cindy, we're actually going to have to ask you to step out.
Outside the room?
Yeah.
It's kind of crowded in here.
Well, all right.
We'll tell you when we got another read to do. Actually, pretty soon. So we'll bring you back in then. So just put your ear to the door and just have a listen from out there.
Well, all right, gents. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. There he goes.
Thanks, Sydney.
What a guy! What a guy!
I feel kind of bad.
It is. I mean, I've not read like John Hollander's books on analytics and stuff. I kind of just watch the stuff. At least he like put some effort into it.
Well, you know, we got to make him. He showed that he can work hard, but now we're like really cracking the whip. We're like, okay, like you put in the baseline, so now you're gonna read the ads and you're gonna work your way in. Really.
Well, you know, he read part of the ad that he wasn't supposed to read, so it's almost like
that's true. Not a great start.
Maybe get the ad part down first, and then
he'll have a chance of redemption a little bit later.
All right.
So let's talk some more basketball. So there's two Wizards games between now and the next time we will speak. That is...
Whoa, we're on the talk until after the next two Wizards games?
Yeah, we're going radio silent, the three of us.
I feel like it spoils the pod if we're chatting throughout these games, you know?
Okay, I thought you meant like at all. That's good.
Oh, yeah, you can talk to other people, just not to us, the two of us.
All right, that's good. I got a little mini vacay with my girlfriend. It'd be bad if I couldn't talk.
So you got Philly at home on Saturday, and then the Blazers come to town on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And Gary, we're going to spend a little quality time together on Monday.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, so you, Court Dog, and her fam, is that right?
Actually, just me and Court Dog.
Oh, what happened to, I thought her, like, sister or something.
Sister, brother-in-law, and nephew are coming to the game, but the nephew apparently, very busy weekend. The four-year-old has a busy weekend, so he needs some time to relax before the basketball game, is what I've been told.
Okay.
Dave, you're welcome to come, too, you and the lady friend.
You have to find a four-year-old to bring now.
We're going to do some brunch. That's where we're going to meet for brunch. We haven't decided on the brunch spot yet.
Wow, thanks for this invite. Really late to the party.
I feel like we talked about it last week or something.
Feel really unwelcome.
Or you had something to do, you wouldn't be around.
It's also still like 5 days away.
Right, so. I mean, if you really feel slighted, then like you can not join us out of spite, or you can like get drunk with us. And
we'll talk about it off air, I guess.
Okay, all right. You have some grievances you want to air. I can feel it.
So we've only got a two-game slate to predict the records for.
Yeah.
Got red hot Sixers, won 4 out of 5.
but no Embiid.
But no Embiid.
Mm.
As of now, I still am skeptical about that, even though they said it, because he rolled his ankle last night, and they don't want to play him in both games. To me, it would make more sense to hold him out of the Sooner game if they already know he's not going to play one. But that's not what's being reported. It's not what's being reported. Anyways, so you got Sixers, no Embiid. And then
Blazers, the Blazers could show up and play well. I don't know how well they're doing in particular in the Western Conference, but
they're poop. They're not good.
They are. Their method of scoring is one that the Wizards struggle to defend, though. It's a bunch of guards and 3-point shooters.
That's true. McCollum and Lillard could definitely both hit like 10 threes each.
Yeah, and they're like complementary scorers all shoot the 3 too.
Sure. Yeah, I don't mean to say the fact that that team is poop doesn't mean they can not beat the Wizards, because
we've seen some poop teams beat the Wizards.
For sure.
Predict. Well, there's only 3 possible options. We've got 3 people. We don't have to choose them all.
I'm going 2-0, you guys. I never pick the clean sweep, but I'm going for it. 2-0.
I'm going to say 0-2.
Whoa!
With my fingers crossed.
Oh, oldest trick in the book. Man. I'm going to go 2-0 also. I think we're in consensus on this one.
Okay.
So a first.
That'd be fun.
5 to win and nobody beats me.
Shall we take a look at the rest of the Eastern Conference? There's some things to talk about here. Let's get to it. Let's play the Bill Tell Webster Overture here. Okay, so we know how the top of the standings look here. Cavs, Raps, Celts, 1, 2, and 3. Behind them, you've got the Hawks, Pacers, Bucks, Hornets, and the Wiz to top out the top 8. Behind them, you got the Bulls, half game back of the Wiz. Detroit, New York, Orlando. I think really past Detroit, you're not really looking at any competitive teams around here. But yeah, there's a couple things to like in this this Eastern Conference picture. Before we started recording, Dave, you noted that, I mean, we've said this a couple times now, but the four seed pretty much seems like it's up for grabs. I mean, Atlanta ripped off a couple games in a row, but they also really want to just offload everyone at the same time, which is like a really weird thing for them to be doing. I was like irate last week when they almost traded Kyle Korver, and now they're not going to trade Kyle Korver?
No, they did.
He's already playing.
But they were going to trade Millsap and didn't trade Millsap.
Oh, it was Millsap. I'm sorry. Well, yeah, I mean,
I think what they realized,
well, they're never going to beat LeBron. Yeah, no. Angry. Listen to me. I'm pissed. There it is again.
Yeah, I wish that they do these trades and end up as the 8 seed and Korver slays them in the first round. That's how I hope it works out.
Yeah, I mean, I would, of course, like to see the Hawks get beat down, too. I think that the Hawks are in a similar position as the Wizards, and the Grizzlies also really reminded me of that, in that it would probably be better for them to tank. I mean, the Grizzlies have always, you know, overachieved, and they're good this year, even though they really have no business being good. But that if you lose any chance of making the playoffs in Memphis, D.C., Atlanta, you're going to lose the fan base for another 10 years. Like, no one would go to see the Hawks even when they won 60 games because people didn't care. It took them being, like, a really good team for over a year for people to go see them again. The Grizzlies, nobody cared about them even when they were, like, a perennial Western Conference Finals contender. And the Wizards are the same thing. I think they can't, like, financially afford to blow it up, even though it might be for the best, for, like, the long-term health of the team.
That all makes a lot of sense. I just can't understand. I mean, the Hawks have been whipped multiple times by the Cavs. And then you're just going to, I mean, part of your plan is to just give away one of your most valuable assets to this team that is just going to continue to whip you. Like, it's just like when teams give up draft picks to the Patriots. Like, you're just enabling the Patriots to continue to be good. Now, Kyle Korver isn't, like, the crux of that for the Cavs, obviously, but, like, I just don't understand it. And it drives me crazy watching the NFL, and it drives me crazy in this scenario. Like, I
don't understand that aspect of it either, why anyone tries to help those teams.
Right.
I don't know why Mark Cuban sent Zaza and took Bogut. I don't get why he did that. There must be some kind of, like, higher level, you know, like, interleague politics at work, that, because it makes no sense to me. I don't get it.
And that's that's probably why you can basically offload. You can make a trade for anyone for any, I mean, not anything, but for something on some level. And I think a lot of times it's like, oh, why the hell did they do that? But that's probably why.
That's part of, I think I was texting you earlier this week, Schwenk, about how I don't really feel like the Cavs, especially, and the Warriors even to an extent, are like super teams the way people talk about. Like, they are in that they win 70% of their games, but they weren't built like that crazily.
Right.
It's not like they're the Heat, where two free agents who could have gotten maxes chose to take less, and they like all joined forces like that. The Warriors were built through the draft almost entirely, and then like mid-range free agents until the Durant signing. But like last year, they were certainly not a super team. They just were a well put together team. And then the Cavs, even like their only free agent they got is LeBron. The other ones, Love was a trade. All the dudes from the Knicks are trades. Mm-hmm. Korver now a trade. Like the signings they've made are like old dudes who, I guess in that, those kind of are like that because they're like ring-chasing older guys who just have like one skill. But even that is like, I don't think that's like some fraudulent source of creating a team. It's just,
I don't think it's a fraudulent source of creating a team, but it's just like, again, like the Knicks trade for them to get Shumpert and J.R. Smith. Like
I don't know why the teams do it.
Like, what the hell?
I don't know why the opposing teams do it. especially when there are teams that are want to be contenders, like the Knicks or the Hawks.
You don't think the Knicks can use J.R. Smith and Shumpert right
especially
now?
Especially at the time of that trade, they weren't quite the joke that they became like last year. I don't know why those teams do it, but I just don't really think the portrayal of the whole super team like killing the league is that accurate.
And I totally agree with you, especially because a lot of people say it's not good for the league to have like a concentration of superstars. It would be better if like each team had one. But you know what? If you put Klay Thompson on one team, Draymond Green on another team, you give Kyrie Irving his own team and Kevin Love his own team, all of those teams are going to suck if that is their best player, each one of those teams.
We've seen that with Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, let Draymond be the best player on a team. How well is that going to go? Or Klay Thompson?
It won't.
So it's, I agree that that's a stupid
just say argument. It. Just say it.
A shitty argument.
There you go.
Put out there by dickheads.
That it's somehow like messing with the parity of the league. Those aren't superstars. It's not like Wade and Bosch both carried their teams for like a decade.
Right.
In ways that these new teams aren't like composed of that kind of player.
And then even like Ray Allen, who came in later, is a much greater version of these aging players that the Cavs are now getting.
Yeah.
Let's keep running through these here. Gary. You're allotted 90 seconds of 76ers talk.
Well,
I won't put you on a real clock, but let's hear it.
I'll try to do it in what feels like a minute and a half. They're killing it. 4 out of 5, as we said earlier. Embiid had his career high in rebounds last night. He's now averaging over 19 a game. Just last night he was dancing with cheerleaders, celebrating the win. TJ McConnell had his game winner over Melo. Last week he had a 17-assist game. Oh, my goodness. It's crazy.
But not confident them beating the Wiz on Saturday.
No, I think they'll lose. I would prefer them to lose. This is ideal. The way this season is going for the Sixers, for me, is perfect. They're winning, you know, they're already at last season's win total with 10 wins, and they're still, like, bottom three in the league. They can continue to do as well as they're doing now. It'll inspire the fans, and their players will feel like they're improving and they'll have some hope. Simmons might be coming back late this month or in February, and that'll probably help a little, but it's not going to bump them like out of a great pick. So it's really going just dreamily for them in my eyes.
Well done.
I think that was 88 seconds.
I'm excited for Simmons to come back.
Yeah.
He was probably like one of the only bright spots in the summer league if you're looking for anything to watch there. And can't wait to see him take his talents to an actual NBA court.
It's going to be really fun to watch.
Lastly here, before we get on to This Week in John Wall, Derek Rose went MIA. I know we've given a lot of shine to the Knicks, but I think it's worth talking about.
Giving a poop smear to the Knicks.
You know what? You took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to call him poopy something. Yeah, he went MIA, and everything's just cool, I guess. No one really... Hordachek wasn't like saying anything in his post-game presser. Like, oh, I don't know. I haven't talked to him. It took Noah to be like, oh, yeah, he's fine. He's fine. And
You know what?
I can't believe he's... His whole thing is he's gunning for like a giant. Of course, he's gunning for a giant contract, but he's not worth it. Just realize it, man.
The dysfunction of the Knicks is honestly like one of the things that keeps me going as a Wizards fan. Like, at least it's not that bad. Like, they are in the biggest market in the country. Like, the most. They get so much press, even when they're such a terrible team. They spend so much money on their front office, on their players, and they're just such a disaster. So whenever I feel bad about Ernie Grunfeld, at least we're not paying Phil Jackson $15 million to do nothing.
Tremendous. James Dolan, I might have mentioned this last time, strong-arming the Rockettes into performing at Trump's inauguration. God. Oh, that's the best. That makes me laugh.
And then backtracking.
Yeah. Being like, oh, no, guys. I would never.
Probably managing to anger both sides.
Right.
You know? Strong arms him into it and then backs out. So he's probably managed to piss off everyone he possibly could.
Does he? I wonder if he has any real friends.
Yeah, they're in his band called JD and the Straight Shot.
Right, but my thought is he's got to pay those guys, right? Like,
there's this one friend of his named Wilson. Another one, I think, Spalding. He's got a buddy named Rawlings. And they all just live together on an island. And then he pops out for Knicks games.
Right behind the bench. Good luck, Jimmy D. All right. We got another read here. Should we bring our friend back into the room?
Yeah, call him in.
Sydney.
Yeah?
Get in here.
All right.
We want to talk some basketball with you.
All right. Time to talk about some basketball. What do we want to talk about? Andy Boygett moving teams?
There's actually this fantasy basketball app that we were hoping you could read about.
Okay, that's sort of basketball adjacent, I suppose.
Yeah.
Slightly better. Okay. Is this another one of live reads?
Yeah, totally.
All right, I'll try not to botch it. All right, let me give it a go. Draft. You guys dabble in the daily fantasy sports? Are you a fiend that needs to get that $1 play in before the night's NBA games tip? You should check out the Draft Daily Fantasy app. Download it now in the App Store or on Google Play. And when you do so, be sure to enter the code
ABPN.
By doing so, you'll be able to get your deposit matched up to $600. That's right, they're giving money away on Draft Daily Fantasy app. Download it now and don't forget to enter the code ABPN to have up to $600 matched.
Very nice, Sydney.
Thanks for doing that.
I think I nailed it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about Kyrie Irving.
Well, I was going to say, where are you staying tonight?
I'm staying at the Australian Embassy. I just flew in today. I did it for this podcast. I thought for sure we'd be talking a bit about more. I mean, we got Ben Simmons now in the league. We could talk about him.
You actually just missed the Ben Simmons talk.
Oh, my Lord. What are you doing to me, boys?
Hey, you know what? We had to bring you in here. We had to make sure that you were up on basketball. And then, you know, you had to prove your worth with the live read. So maybe next week.
Do you know what the flight time is here from Australia?
Well, just stick around for a week. What do you got to do?
I got to get back home.
What are you doing at home? What's at home?
I got a dingo fight.
A dingo fight?
Yeah, I got to fight a dingo.
Can you bet on it via the Draft Daily Fantasy app?
No, he's not saying that. Like a fight between dingoes. You're saying you have to fight a dingo?
Yeah, he's been talking shit.
When is this fight going to take place? What?
It's hard to describe. We've got different days for the names, or names for the days.
Okay, well.
What are they called there?
Well, which one? You tell me your name and I'll tell you ours.
Well, we call today a Thursday.
Oh, Thursday. That's Fless.
Okay. All right, well. You know, why don't you email the dingo and be like, hey, can we push it back?
We are way past email, my friend. I got to go show this dingo what's what. And then maybe I'll be able to get back by next week. But if not, I'll be back here one day.
Okay, so Tuesday is when we're recording.
We'll talk about Aaron Baines.
In the meantime, you can draft Aaron Baines or Andrew Bogut.
I plan on drafting exclusively Australian players.
Do that, and then let us know how it goes.
Like Steven Adams?
Might have to fight him if I make it back over here.
We'll let you know the next time he's in D.C.
I'll hang his teeth around my neck on a necklace with the dingo's paws.
All right, Sydney. Thanks for coming by and doing the read. If you make it back, well, again, Tuesday night is when we're recording, so you can let us know how the dingo fight goes, and maybe we'll talk basketball. Maybe.
All right, I'll try to be there. Ciao. Man, that guy is a wild card, huh?
Seriously. I think you're his favorite, Gary, actually.
He doesn't seem to talk to me much.
You know, I think it's the side, like, you guys kind of have, like an unspoken vibe.
I don't think we should invite him back next week, though, because I have another live read for us. I already have it lined up. It turns out this one only our longtime listeners might understand, but do you guys remember Jerry Mooseport? Or Jerry Moose Wood, I think, was his name.
Our Canadian friend?
The Canadian correspondent during the Raptors playoff series a couple years ago.
Didn't he die?
Yeah, I thought he died.
Yeah, if you remember, he died in a car crash on the way down here to record a podcast.
Right.
Recently, I was trying to get the pictures off of an old phone of mine, and I discovered all these voicemails from him, and they just happened to correspond with the current products we're doing live reads for.
Whoa.
You know what? He was always a prescient guy, that Jerry Moosewood.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
But anyway, so hopefully we'll have those for next week.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll tell Sid, 2 weeks, get the dingo fight out of the way. Don't let us hold you back. And
we'll wait till he comes over and then
send him back
with eBay.
Come back in a week.
He doesn't have anything else going on.
All right, guys, we got This Week in John Wall and Pop Culture Detour left on the agenda. We talked a lot of John Wall earlier, but let's play a sound just because we love him so much.
Ni ha washi John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall. John Wall.
John was just a boy.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall of the Washington Wizards.
A spectacular circuit shot by John Wall.
Everybody do it, John Wall. Do it, John.
I guess one thing we didn't discuss in the whole Jay Crowder incident, possible suspension could be on the table. Nothing from the NBA today. Maybe by the time you're listening to this, there will be some sort of fine or suspension handed down. I feel like the NBA, he'll probably get dragged into this, but I have a feeling that Jay Crowder might take the brunt of the decision, whatever it may be. So, you know, maybe they just give John a fine and they suspend Crowder.
I actually doubt that.
Yeah. I think a swing is usually.
But did you see the angle? Like, it was open hand. It was very light.
I know, but.
Like a kitten.
I know, but I don't think they would go lighter on Crowder just because there was a swing of some sort.
No, I mean, I think they will go lighter. Yeah. If I was betting on it, I would bet Crowder gets fined $25,000 and Wall gets suspended a game. I think if we're lucky, they both just get fined. But I kind of doubt they're going to let somebody like hitting somebody in the face go.
Especially because it was after game and he didn't even get like a technical out of it to add to his count,
yeah.
You know, which is a decent count so far.
Yeah,
but if Brad can't beat the Embiid-less Sixers by himself, then what are we really doing here?
We're going to cancel the podcast. That's what we're going to do. It's over.
Sydney will be so disappointed.
He's going to show up at my doorstep and be like, there's no more pod, dude. You didn't get the memo?
I'll be crushed.
So, possible suspension. Seems like he's got some nagging injuries with his wrist and his pinky. Fortunately, the x-rays for that one came up negative. But on top of all that, he's been playing. He's continued his great run of play. As I said before, 18-18 against the T-Wolves and 26-14 against the Bulls over this last stretch of games. So threw up a dud against the Celts, but it's been weeks since he's thrown up a straight dud like that. So.
So, naturally, he's behind Derrick Rose in the All-Star game voting.
Yep.
Which just makes sense.
That and Dwayne Wade. But sure, I'll never understand the people who are like, oh, why can't the fans can't control the vote anymore? Up in arms. It's so dumb. Anthony Lynn, or
Jeremy Lynn. He should certainly not make it in.
He played like 12 games. Oh, yeah, Anthony Lynn, Jeremy's dad. Yeah. It's around this time every year where I start to really root for guys like Isaiah Thomas and Kyle Lowry, like they're on my team, just because I get so upset about like the injustice of the fact that Kyrie Irving has like 7 times more votes than Kyle Lowry, who is just objectively better in every way.
Right.
Is just ridiculous. And same thing with Isaiah Thomas. What does Kyrie do that Isaiah Thomas doesn't?
Dresses up like an old guy.
That's true. He does that. But I mean, Thomas is a better scorer. He averages more assists. I mean, he takes over games in a way that Kyrie has never had to do in his whole career. I don't know. It seems ridiculous to me.
I'm with you. I'm with you. Well, seems John's all-star chances probably on the ropes, but...
Well, I think he's definitely going to make it.
Because it's still only the starters decided by vote plus...
Right. And, yeah, the coaches will pick the reserve, same right. as always. So I think he'll make it.
I think so, too.
I think a little bit there it was in danger because Kemba was maybe going to pass him because the Hornets were, like, 5 games better, and Kemba was playing really well, but both of those things kind of changed, so... I think he'll make it, but.
All right, gents. Shall we close out with Pop Culture Detour? We've been going at it for a while. Long episode here. No guest or anything.
Except for Sydney.
Except for Sydney, you know. He's basically like a regular, though. Even though he hasn't been around in a year. Tomatoes, tomatoes, as they say down under, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do Pop Culture Detour.
Pop Culture Detour.
The only one I've got here, I've watched both episodes of The Bachelor this season. I'm normally in on The Bachelor. This one's been pretty good, and the trashy hot girl on there, Corinne, has my heart. She just came in, and so on these shows, I don't know if you guys have ever watched.
I'm familiar, to a great extent, but not with this season at all.
So, like, basically nobody, of course, I mean, this is, like, obvious, but, like, when you're in that situation, especially at the very beginning when there's like 30 people, nobody really knows how to like handle themselves. And it's a lot of awkwardness, like feeling things out. But this girl has like clearly, she knows like how to get a man that she wants, let's say. And she knows how to do it while she's blasted drunk. So while everyone's like being like meek and cautious, she's slamming drinks. She made out with Nick on the first night. In the second episode, she whipped her cans out. So
she's a podcaster?
She got the immunity rose after she did that. I'm enjoying her on The Bachelor. So if you're into that sort of thing, season's been good so far.
I had off work today, and I watched the first episode of Sneaky Pete, an Amazon series.
Mm.
I was planning on watching a bunch of it because it's an Amazon series, but it's actually not out yet. They just have like the first episode as a preview, so it's good. I think it comes out for real tomorrow. I like the first one. He's like basically a con man coming out of prison and assumes the identity of a fellow inmate. Living with his family and working as a bail bondsman. It's intriguing so far. It stars, what's his?
Giovanni
right.
Ribisi.
Right, right. He's good. What else? There was another thing I tackled. I don't remember what it was.
Let it come to you. Dave, you got any pop culture detour wrecks?
A show that I really like... it just came back, Man Seeking Woman. Have you guys ever seen that?
Watch those today as well, actually.
It is pretty funny. I really like Jay, you know, Baruchel.
I think you got it right.
He's really funny. It's like a clever premise for the show. Have you ever seen it?
Mm-mm.
I really recommend it. I think this is the third season.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Basically, Eric Andre is in it.
They take like real life situations that you're in, typically romantic related, and then blow them up to these like absurd proportions. Like there's a scene from last season where he's trying to compose a text to a girl he's met recently, And then all of a sudden,
they're in the war room.
Right, he's in a war room. There's like 15 generals, and they're like going through it. And then basically every scene of the show is some like regular life thing turned into a fantastic
situation. Or he has to go to his ex-girlfriend's wedding, and it's literally in hell. So he has to go like across the border between the living and the dead into hell to...
That's pretty good.
It is good. It's a funny show.
And then upcoming.
Oh, of course. Great way to end the show here. Young Pope.
Young Pope.
The time has arrived. This Sunday, there's... No, it's not on there, you guys. Sorry. We discussed a Young Pope Sounder last night. So next time, we'll have Young Pope Sounders. And
that's
we'll have
good. It's kind of good we won't have it till we're actually discussing the show yet.
We'll have a Sheldon McClellan Sounder, too.
Oh, yeah. And then we got to work on a Jason Smith.
Yes. Can do that. Got some free time this weekend.
But Young Pope starts Sunday.
Still good reviews. They're coming out. Everyone, you know, I think they've given out like the first three episodes to TV critics, and people like them. Seems like it's pretty off the wall. But I'm excited.
You know what I read, though, is that Jude Law would not actually be the youngest pope. There have been multiple popes younger than him.
Well, it's not called youngest pope.
Well, I'm just saying I never thought that apparently there was a pope that was like 20.
Right. Huh. Well, Jude Law is probably 45, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, that's probably... I mean, the 20-year-old pope. That's,
And I guess back then, like, nobody lived to pope age.
Right.
What we consider pope age now.
That's a good point.
King Tut was like a 12-year-old, wasn't he? Well, I'm serious.
Yeah. Something like that.
Cleopatra died when she was 9.
Alexander the Great, toddler. Little known fact.
Alexander the Great.
Well, with that, we'll be back next Wednesday morning. Andrew Sharp coming on the pod. So that is something to look forward to. You should definitely subscribe to the show any which way you prefer to listen. Follow us at Zardcast on Twitter, Zardcast.com, AlmightyBaller.com. Check out the Handy app, not for hand jobs, but for handiwork around the house. Almighty15 is that code for 15% off. And also the draft app, Daily Fantasy, ABPN. Throw that in there. Get your deposit matched up to $600. So for my co-hosts, David Keffer, Gary Jones, I'm CT Schwenk. That was Zardcast.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.